Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. In your Scofield Bible, page 1097, we'll be reading responsively verses 11 through 20. Verses 11 through 20, the text verse is the 20th verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And let's pray. Father, this is truly a treasured story in thy word, and we thank you for the word. We thank you for the way that it speaks to our hearts. Help our hearts to be ready to hear the message of today. Give our minds alertness. Give us willingness to obey thy word, and truly bless the preaching of it this morning and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry about that. You know the story of the prodigal son. I need not belabor you with the story. You know it. Since you were a child in Sunday school, most of you have read, learned, taught, and some of you have even preached the story of the prodigal son. But there's one thing I want you to notice about the story that most folks don't notice. Let me read you a verse. And he rose and came to his father. I want you to notice this next line. This is my text and my title. But when he was yet a great way off. Too far away to be heard. Too far away to ask forgiveness. A great way off. Too far away for the father to know why he was coming back. He was just coming back. While he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. All that before the son said a word. He was just coming, that's all. That's all. I want to talk to you on the subject this morning when he was a great way off. Listen to me carefully. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, I want to make it so plain how you can trust him. If you're here this morning and you drifted away from God, I want you to know this morning how much the Heavenly Father loves you. And so I hope you listen carefully as I speak from this text when he was a great way off. Our Heavenly Father, help me to be a blessing, please. Transform somebody's life. May those who are not saved come to the Father. May those who are drifted away come back home. May those of us who are neither lost or have drifted away, may we rejoice in the great love of our Heavenly Father for us. For all of us have been lost at one time, and all of us have drifted away at one time. May help us to rejoice this wonderful, wonderful truth. Amen. Somebody asks me often, how do you prepare your sermons, or how do you get your sermon ideas? I promise you that 90% of the sermons that I preach here, I get from just reading the Bible, and a phrase jumps out and grabs me and shakes me good and hard. I was talking to Dr. Mike Haynes, I think I may have mentioned this the other day, and I said, how do you get your sermons? He said, I tell my people, I go alone, and I said, oh, God, give me sermons for Sunday. And lo and behold, he puts them in my mailbox once a week. The brother Howes his tapes. And I was with a bunch of preachers and their families this week, the preachers that won the contest for pastor school. And Dr. Tom Neal said, Brother Howes, I'm worried about this trip. He said, I haven't seen you prepare a single sermon. I said, usually we're together. You're over in the corner studying somewhere. When I got Ms. Howes with me, I don't study the Bible. He said, if you don't get over and study, I'm not going to have anything to preach in a few weeks. But my sermons come from Spurgeon's Book of Sermons. No, I get my sermons reading the Bible. The other day I was reading the Bible and I came to this little phrase and it jumped out and bit me and shook me. It said, while he was a great way off. Don't read me now. The usual story as told by preachers concerning the prodigal son. That the prodigal son went away, went out in the far country, and of course he spent all, and he was hired by this fellow to feed the hogs, and his salary was the husk. The hogs wouldn't eat, well, the hogs ate the corn. He ate the husk, and he said, this is stupid. I'll rise and go to my father and ask to be one of his hired servants and so forth. And he came back home and asked the father to forgive him, and the father forgave him. But that's not what the story says. The story says, while he was a great way off, his father, I want you to notice what his father did while he was a great way off. First, he saw him. That means he was looking for him. Second, he had compassion on him. Third, he ran to him. And before the son said a word, before he knew how the son was back, he saw him, had compassion on him, he ran to him, he fell on his neck, he kissed him, he had fattened a calf. He said, kill the fatted calf. Didn't say kill a fatted calf. He had fattened one up for this occasion. He's expecting the son to come back. And he said, kill the fatted calf. He had purchased a robe and already picked out one the size for his son. And a pair of shoes that were the size for the son. He purchased a ring, and he must have known or gotten the size that the ring that the son wore. And he had his neighbors all alerted. All before the son said a word. Let me say it again. He saw him, had compassion, ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him, had fattened the calf, purchased a robe, purchased some shoes, bought a ring, and had the neighbors alerted. Now, wait a minute. Listen carefully to me now. Some of you deep theologians, I'm going to shoot you full of holes this morning. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. The father did all of this, and he had no idea whether his son had changed or not. None. The father did all of this. He had no idea why his son was coming home. He just knew he was coming. That's all. He knows, and by the way, his son may have been coming home to ask for more money. That's why your son had to come home. And he didn't know. He didn't ask the son why he came. He didn't say, son, what do you want? Son, have you repented of your sins? Son, are you sorry for what you've done? No, sir. Before he ever learned why the boy was coming home, he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him and gave him a robe and gave him a pair of shoes, killed a fatted calf, called his neighbors. He didn't even know how he was coming back. He did not know if the boy would be repentant or not when he got back. He did not know what the boy was going to say, and he never even asked the boy a question. Now, this story is to show you how much God loves you. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. The Heavenly Father's looking for you. And the minute you start coming, he's going to run meet you. And I'll tell you after a while what's going to happen. If you're here and you're backslidden today and you're away from God, Heavenly Father's watching for you today. He's looking down the road. He's watching for you to come. You say, how do I come? You just come. And he's watching for you. He stands at the end of the aisles this morning. in this room. When he sees you start, he'll run to meet you. If you're sitting in this section over here and you're sitting back in the back somewhere, I promise you, if you start down that aisle this morning during the invitation, our Heavenly Father will meet you two-thirds of the way. He'll come and greet you. That's what this Father did. And by the way, when he sees you start, he runs to meet you. And by the way, he'll meet you back there before you get to the altar with a robe of righteousness to put on you, with the shoes of the gospel of peace to give you. He has a ring of assurance to put on your finger. And the neighbors in heaven are all alerted right now, saying, look down there at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. A preacher's preaching, and God is saying, I know what happens every Sunday down there. Hey, get your shouting shoes on. Open your mouth wide. Flap your wings a little bit. There's something going to happen. And the Heavenly Father will tell thee, as all the saints of heaven alerted and the angels in glory alerted, and before you get two pews down an aisle, they'll be having a spell up in the glory world. I want to say this, and you may be surprised at this. You may not agree with it, but I believe it. I believe if you don't even know how to be saved, if you walk down that aisle this morning with the purpose of getting saved, I think God will write your name in the book of life before you get to the altar. I think he'll blot your sins out of his book before you get to the altar. I think he'll forgive your sins before you get to the altar. Why? I mean, why? He knows what's going to happen. He knows what you're going to do. He knows that Brother Scott is at the end of this aisle over here. He knows what Brother Scott's going to tell you when you get down the aisle. And he knows that Brother Scott or somebody's going to get on their knees with you and tell you that you're a sinner and that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And if you'll trust him, rely upon him to take you to heaven, he'll take you to heaven when you die. And he knows that you're going to trust him because that's what you came down the aisle to do. And he'll write your name in heaven before you ever get down that altar this morning. See, I don't believe that. Okay, try 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Didn't say if we ask forgiveness, he said if we confess them. If I get on my knees this morning, and I won't because I don't have any sins to confess. Now I do. If I get on my knees this morning and said, dear Lord, I beat my wife in checkers. I beat my wife. If I just confess I did it, I'm forgiven, not by her, but by him. Because, see, God knows I'm going to ask forgiveness. So he said, if we just admit the fact we've sinned, we're on our way home. And the Heavenly Father, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not when we ask for forgiveness, but when we confess that we have sinned. Because God looks down the road and sees us coming home, and he forgives our sins. The prophet said, God said to the prophet, before they call, I will answer. So before you, listen to me carefully. You walk down this aisle this morning, I promise you, more folks get saved before they get to the altar than they do at the altar. God sees you coming. Write your name in heaven. You say, Brother House, what do I do? What did the prodigal do? He just came home. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Didn't tell you how to come. Didn't tell you when to come. Just said, come. John 6:37. Him that cometh to me, I would in no wise cast out. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. John 7:37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And Mark 8:34. Whosoever will, come after me. And Genesis 6:18, come into the ark. And Luke 14:23, compel them to come. And John 5:40, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And in Mark 10:14, suffer little children to come unto me. Doesn't say, dress up and come. It just says, come. It doesn't even say, clean up and come. He said, don't even clean up and come. Come as you are. I'll clean you up when you get there. The old story of Charlotte Elliott. Heard the gospel and couldn't understand it. And again the gospel presented and Charlotte Elliott still couldn't understand it. And so finally somebody said, okay, you're a sinner and you're lost and Jesus paid the penalty on the cross, rose again after 3 days and 3 nights and trust him. And Charlotte Elliott still couldn't understand it. And somebody said, okay, just come to Jesus. And Charlotte Elliott said, how do I come? And somebody shouted back and said, come just as you are. And the prodigal son didn't take a bath and come home, didn't clean up his life and come home. He just came home. And the Heavenly Father saw him, and the Heavenly Father, when he was yet a way off, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. God loves you this morning. Just take one little step. The Heavenly Father will run and meet you. Charlotte Elliott, somebody said, come just as you are. Charlotte Elliott picked up the pen and wrote, just as I am, without one plea. Let that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. You said, preacher, have I got to forsake all my sin before I come? You don't even know what all your sins are. You just realized that you are a sinner and that you're lost in the sight of Almighty God, and the wages of sin is death. But thank God Jesus paid it all. The old account was settled long ago and walked down this aisle. Just come on back and the Heavenly Father meets you back in the aisle. If you're not saved, come. If you've fallen away, come. If you've been out of the will of God, come. If you sin grievously, come. If you rebelled against this church, come. If you've gone to the depths, come. If you've disobeyed his word, come. If you've been bitter against him, come. If you're afraid to live, come. If you're afraid to die, come. If you're lonely, come. If you're hardened, come. If you're rejected, come. Come. Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Can you see that old father looking down the road, waiting for his son to come back? All of a sudden, he sees a form. He says that it's about his size. He walks a little lot like him. It's my boy. It's my boy. He didn't know why he was coming back. He just knew he was coming back. He didn't know if the boy was going to come home and ask forgiveness. All he knew, his boy was coming back. And God said, come every soul by sin of prayer. All you got to do, listen, come on down this aisle. We'll tell you what to do when you get here. And God will know what you're going to do when you get here. He'll put your name in heaven before you hit the altar. Doesn't say come with your good works. Doesn't say come with your changed life. Doesn't say come with your confirmation. Doesn't say come with your sacraments. Doesn't say come with your Holy Eucharist. Doesn't say come with your confessional. Doesn't say come with your communion cup. Doesn't say come with your baptism. Doesn't say come with turning over a new leaf. It just says come. You mission men up here, I don't care what you've done. You haven't done anything this son hadn't done. I promise you, you step out in that aisle right there and start down those steps. I promise you the Heavenly Father will meet you before you get to that door. I promise you. You street people here, you homeless people, slept in Lower Wacker Drive last night. I don't care if anybody loves you. I got news for you. There's a Heavenly Father that loves the fire out of you. He's looking for you. And I promise you, if you'll leave that chair and walk toward those steps, I'll promise you before you get out of that chair, if God knows you're going to come, I promise you the Heavenly Father will take off down that aisle, run up those stairs, and meet you before you get to the stairs. While he was yet afar off. I promise you, truck drivers, I don't know whether he wants you or not. I promise you, you get out of those pews this morning, walk right that aisle. I promise you, you take one step and the Heavenly Father will help you rest the way down the aisle. I promise you, bus kids, I promise you. I promise you, educable slow people for whom we are paying a big price these days, and it's worth every dime of it. We love you. I promise you, I don't care who you are. The Heavenly Father sees you when you're far off, and he saw the Son coming back, and he said, my boy is coming home. My boy is coming home. The boy hadn't said a word. He had a robe on his back. He had a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Father kissed him and hugged him, welcomed him back, and the boy hadn't said a word yet. Old Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., stood behind this piece of wood right here. This wood was over by the other building many years ago. Dr. Bob was up in years, in his 80s. He was senile. His memory was failing him. He stood right behind this piece of wood preaching. He said, back down to when I was a boy in Northern Alabama, I went to hear an old-fashioned preacher. He preached a sermon about a fellow who was crippled. And he tried to get to Jesus, and he couldn't get to him because of the crowd. They went up and they cut a hole in the roof and let the fellow down the roof, and he got to Jesus, and Jesus healed him and saved him. He said, as a lad, about 13 years of age, I got the idea if I could get to Jesus, he'd heal me and save me too. And he said, I came to Jesus, and he saved me and made me his child. About 3 minutes later, he said, let me tell you a story. He said, when I was a lad down in Northern Alabama, he said, an old preacher stood up and said, told the preacher a sermon about the fellow in a wheelchair who was crippled, couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And they took him up on the rooftop and put a hole in the roof and let him down. He got to Jesus. I got the idea, if I could get to Jesus, he'd fix what I need. About 3 minutes later, he said, let me tell you a story. 9 times the old senile man who had lost his memory told the same illustration. Bless God, he had lost his memory, but there's one day he couldn't forget, and that is one day he got to Jesus. He couldn't forget that. The old account was settled long ago. Dr. Bob was dying near death. He was staying in the hospital there at the university. He asked to see me. I took my daughter Becky down to the university. We went to the hospital in Dr. Bob's room. He was sitting there. As I looked at him, I thought I could hear the marching of the soldiers of Calvary, marching all over the world proclaiming the gospel, been trained by that old man. I thought I could hear angels, heaven's orchestra preparing to play a welcome song. I said, Dr. Bob, would you lay your hands on me and pray for me? And ask God to bless the ministry. Becky was there. Dr. Bob said, before I do, let me tell you a story. He said, years ago when I was a boy, I went to hear an old preacher preach. He preached a sermon about a crippled man who couldn't get to Jesus. He said they took him up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof and laid him down. And he got to Jesus, and Jesus fixed everything. I figured as a teenage lad, if I could get to Jesus, he'd fix me too. And he said he fixed me. He prayed for me. We started to leave. About an hour later, Dr. Bob said, Brother Jack, let me tell you a story. He said, years ago when I was a boy, he said, I went to hear an old preacher preach, and he preached about a crippled man. Couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd, they would take him up on top of the roof and cut a hole in the roof and let him down. And he got to Jesus. And he said, as a boy in Northern Alabama, I thought if I can get to Jesus, everything will be fixed up too. Never forgot it. He never forgot it. This morning, he's looking for you. Way back in the corner of the balcony. He's looking up there for you to see you come home. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. And the Heavenly Father's looking at you. And he's beckoning for you. Come on, come on, come on. While he was yet afar off, he all over this great balcony, up in here, Heavenly Father says to you, come on, come on. You say, well, Brother Hounds, what church do I join? Just come. What sin do I quit? Just come. He'll clean you up when you get there. You don't get cleaned up and come to the doctor. The patient, when Joe Boyd and Bill Burr had their surgery, they didn't go up to Dr. Geargo sitting up here, who did a wonderful job on both of them. They didn't go up and say, Doc, I got my heart all well. Now I want to come to you. You don't come to the doctor well. You come to the doctor sick. You don't come to Jesus as a perfect person. You come to him as a sinner, just like you are.
You never ask your son a word. Didn't say, why are you coming? He just came. And while he was a great way off. I think sometimes we're too wrapped up in doctrine or words instead of what goes on. You believe you got to do this and this to get saved? All you got to do is get to Jesus, knowing that you're a sinner. And knowing you're lost and knowing Jesus died for you, come to Jesus. What church? Hang the church till you get to Jesus. Well, what baptism? Forget the baptism till you get to Jesus. But how about confessional booth to the priest? Forget the priest till you get to Jesus. And after you get to Jesus, too. But how about my good life? How about turning over a new leaf? Just get to Jesus. Prodigal son was yet a great way off. His father ran to meet him. He didn't know why he was coming, just knew he was coming. Fell on his neck and kissed him. Said, son, come on back. Hey, neighbors! Hey, my boy's home! Well, did he tell you what he did? My boy's home! Well, what did he say? My boy's home! Now, I believe in all the doctrines of the faith, but brother, you can wrap every doctrine you want to up in one thing. You're a sinner. You need God. And all you got to do is come to Jesus. And so this morning, you're lost. He's looking for you a great way off. If you're saved and have wandered away from him, he's looking for you a great way off. If you've committed some grievous sin, he's looking for you a great way off. And as soon as you start down these aisles to get saved, to come back to God, to ask forgiveness for sin, he knows if you're sincere, he knows the sincerity of your heart, and he'll run to meet you and carry you in his arms. Remember the story in the same chapter 15th of Luke about the lost sheep? Remember? A sheep got lost, and the shepherd went out looking for it. And the shepherd found the lost sheep. And he put a rope in the mouth of that lost sheep and said, hang on as I pull you back. No, sir. He picked up that lost sheep and put him on his shoulders and carried him back. Which means the hope to get back was not in the sheep holding out faithful. The hope to get back was in the hands of the shepherd who put him on his shoulders. He's watching you this morning. You know who you are. You know who you are. You're not saved or you're away from God. You know who you are. You're yet afar off, but take one step to him. He'll meet you. I hope you will. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing. Come on, come every soul. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Come every soul. Every mission man. Nobody walk. Boys, sit, stand back there. It's not time to run down to the baptismal dressing room. Every mission man, he says, you're great way off, but I'm watching for you. Every bus kid. Every homeless person. Every deaf person. Every sailor lad. Every truck driver. Everybody, while he was a great way off, he ran to me. He'll meet you. Start coming home right now while the choir sings. Come on.